Good morning. I'm Tommy Howe, and welcome to another edition of Tree Huggers International on KBZT FM 94.9, a weekly natural science and environmental affairs program for the listeners of FM 94.9 and San Diego and all of Southern California, from the beaches to the mountains to the deserts. This is Tree Huggers International. Be careful and use this show with caution, because you might just learn something. If you're a resident of the El Monte Valley, El Cajon, Crest, or Lakeside, or if you frequently drive Interstate 8 east into the backcountry and mountains of San Diego County, one of the most notable and prominent landmarks you see on the western slope of our mountains is El Cajon Mountain. Despite being named for El Cajon, the community at its feet, and not for its literal Spanish translation of the drawer, El Cajon Mountain is better known locally as El Capitan, as in San Diego's own El Capitan, a reference to the famous granite landmark in Yosemite Valley. Now, while this 3,675-foot massive granite stands out and is certainly a local landmark, plainly obvious from dozens of areas around the county, even on overcast days, El Cajon Mountain, or El Capitan, also remains remote and somewhat wild in the rapidly urbanizing East County, and is one of the toughest hikes you're likely to find in San Diego County, with a 12-mile round trip and a great deal of up-and-down travel and open chaparral country along the way. Along with Anza Borrego Desert State Park and also Mount Woodman, El Capitan is a favorite destination for rock climbers and boulder lovers, offering some of the best bouldering in the county. But be aware, a portion of El Capitan is for sale. Now, no one's saying that condos are about to be built on El Capitan summit just yet, but 385 acres of the mountain and the crest of the summit, including the vertical relief, are currently for sale. And one man working to keep El Capitan intact as a natural landmark and raising funds to buy the available land is our friend Rob Hutzel, the executive director of the San Diego River Park Foundation. Rob, it's good to see you, man. Welcome back to the program. Welcome to Tree Huggers International.
Thanks, Tommy. I'm really pleased to be here again.
I'm sure someone is asking how and why the San Diego River Park Foundation is concerned about a local mountain. So could you first talk about the San Diego River Park Foundation and how does it tie into buying this property and preserving El Capitan? How do the two relate and intersect?
We were set up back in 2001 to really bring people together to raise awareness about the San Diego River. Sounds like a simple thing to do. But when you start to look at it, it's 52 miles long. And along the way, you start to forget that the river is actually part of this beautiful area. And so we started to look at different features up and down the river to create a river park system that would connect the mountains to the ocean ultimately. Now, there's no better feature along that way, along the 52 miles, than El Cap, our beloved mountain, which kind of stands watch guard over much of San Diego County. It's one of those things you look up, you see it every day, and you think it'll be there forever. And so that's why we're involved with trying to do an effort to save it, to conserve it, for future generations and ourselves, quite frankly, to enjoy forever. When we found out that the property was on the market for sale, we were surprised. We thought it was already publicly owned land. And that's how we got involved. And we're looking at several different properties up and down the river for that very purpose. They're lands that are treasures, they're scenic vistas, they're biologically significant lands, they're natural resources. And you can't protect the river without protecting all of the pieces all along 52 miles of it.
Now, as I understood it, I thought El Capitan was included in the El Capitan Open Space Reserve up on, off of the road towards Barona.
Right.
And it's not all in that area, is it?
No, and it's part of the San Diego backcountry story is that you have this hodgepodge of protected lands, much of it in the Cleveland National Forest or one of the county's open space preserves. And then you have private inholdings, lands that are privately owned, have been for hundreds of years, if not more than that, may have been homesteaded back in, you know, before 1900, and they're still privately owned. And this is one of those areas that is surrounded on all sides by public-owned lands. But for whatever reason, it is still privately owned.
Now, the Open Space Reserve, the El Capitan Open Space Reserve, that does include the massive, the summit area. That is in the Open Space Reserve, or is that in a portion of the area that's for sale?
It's part of the area that's for sale. Actually, when you look up and you see El Cap with its 1,000-foot-plus granite, you know, drop, that is what's for sale. Including the top of that drop And then if you look up farther, then just a little bit back behind that is the very, very tip top of El Cap, the mountain. Mm-hmm. That's actually within the Cleveland National Forest. And that's where it gets kind of confusing, because there's so many different landowners, and yet the most scenic part of it, the beautiful 1,000-foot drop, you know, that reminds us of Yosemite Valley, if you will, that's actually privately owned.
So if you're going to go and do rock climbing there and you're at the base of it, you are on private property.
That's
there.
Right. That's right.
The Bureau of Land Management is involved with this as well, too, correct?
That's right. Much of land in San Diego County at one point or another was owned by the BLM. And over the years, some of that land has been transferred over to the county or other agencies. Believe it or not, El Capitan Open Space Preserve, which is a county park, and the county maintains it, is still owned by BLM, the Bureau of Land Management. And they've been talking for years and years about transferring it to the county, and that just hasn't happened yet.
Now, we're talking about 385 acres, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
We're talking about the vertical relief. What sort of development could potentially occur there?
When we heard about the property, we actually were told that it was on the market for a communications tower. So if you look at the top of, let's say, Mount Woodson in Poway, and you see those big towers, or on the top of Coles Mountain in Mission Trails Regional Park, and you see those towers, that's what was being proposed for that location. And when we heard that, we just kind of went, you know, just in deep inside of us and said, no, that can't happen. This is our landmark. It's our treasured landmark. We can't allow that to happen. Let's get some people together and see what we can do.
You know, that's interesting that you brought it up like that, because Mount Woodman can be seen from many areas around the county as well. And they have a whole communication center on top of there. I mean, if you're up there for very long, I think you'll start to bake.
Or glow.
Yeah, absolutely. And Coles Mountain, Mount San Miguel is another one.
That's right.
So is it reasonable to assume that something like that could be constructed?
Very possible. And what goes with each of those towers is a road to maintain it. Then they have to worry about fire. Every time there's a wildfire, you got to go in there and maintain those, protect those really important communication and expensive communication systems. And so there's a whole bit more than just the tower that goes with it. And you think about it, what's more prominent in terms of communications than on top of El Cap?
So the goal here is really to keep some sort of man-made structure from taking something away from the view, but also taking something away from, I would imagine, the wildness mm-hmm. of that area as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that area is a very special area. It's, you know, we don't see too many golden eagles anymore in San Diego County. Behind there is known as Rock Mountain. There are golden eagles that nest up in that area. And, you know, golden eagles like to be up tall and look down on areas where then they can go look for food. And, again, if you think about El Cap, what better place than look down on an area where you can go look for some food to eat than there? So that's part of it, too, is the story is to make sure that wild San Diego, the golden eagles of San Diego, which when you see them, you just kind of, you know, I don't know about you, but what I do is I kind of shiver inside and I just get all excited because that's just pure wild nature, and protect them forevermore so future generations can see them as well.
And that is an enormous area. Does that function as a wildlife corridor for big cats?
Yeah, there's mountain lion in the area and deer. Of course, they're not going up and down the cliffs, you know, if you will, the sheer drops. But throughout that area, there is a very important wildlife linkage that connects the San Diego River system. And this is another reason why we're interested in it up toward the north and eventually all the way up into Miramar, the Gooden Ranch area in Poway. All of that area is interconnected. And as you know, it's much like a freeway. If there's a traffic accident on a freeway, it breaks down, the whole system fails. And we need to make sure that those connections between different wildlife areas remain connected or working. Even though they're fragile, we still got to protect them. And how fragile they are makes them that much more important that we really work to conserve them.
Regrettably, the area seems to have some pretty frequent fires. The Cedar Fire burned through there in 2003. Can you talk a little bit about the impact fire has had on that area?
I was actually up in our property. We own a place called Eagle Peak Preserve, which is 620 acres that, you know, the good people of San Diego have helped acquire and preserve for very similar reasons. It's surrounded by public lands, and the threat was it was on the market for McMansions, as we call them, you know, a lot of houses in a very small area with incredible vistas. The Cedar Fire started literally a mile from there, and it blew, as we all recall, all the way over to San Diego Country Estates and beyond. if there was houses there, you immediately begin to think about it. And what happens is, well, then you've got to protect the houses. You have to protect the people that live there. And so you create these buffers around there. Those buffers then go into these really critical wildlife areas. And so, you know, it's kind of a challenge. But what we try to do is look for those really sensitive areas. And for the San Diego River, there's three of them. One of them is El Capitan Corridor. And that area connects us over to San Vicente Reservoir and beyond. And in those areas, you just want to make sure that there's a viable buffer area. And then you work with the fire people to make sure that the area is properly managed. And fires will happen. It's part of San Diego's legacy, if you will. So the question is, how do we manage those lands to, you know, prevent the fires from disrupting communities, but also at the same time protect the wildlife?
Is that area being squeezed, if you will, by urbanization?
Yeah, it's amazing, Tommy. I don't know if you've gone back lately, but if you like go into Ramona, it's just sprawling. And with land prices as they were, especially now, where they're coming back down and the economy's tough for most people in San Diego, but we all know at some point that's going to turn around. And when it does, that land prices will once again be attractive for people to buy their dream home or their second home or vacation home or first home. And so you see, like El Capitan, this property is on the market for $1,300 an acre. $1,300 an acre. You think about that. If you buy a lot anywhere in San Diego, you're going to spend $100,000, $200,000 just for a lot in San Diego. And so that's what you find in the backcountry of San Diego, is some lands that are $3,000, $4,000 an acre. And so that's why we have to go in now when the economy is right and really take advantage of willing sellers that want help, they want to sell their lands, and at the same time do good conservation work. And that's what we're trying to do.
Are there zoning laws that would prevent certain types of structures being built there by virtue of the fact that it's adjoining public land?
There are. The zoning is such, but for most properties, you can always build at least one house. Always. And in this area, if somebody could figure out a way to do it, and it'd be very expensive, somebody could build a road up to the property and build a house on it. Actually, because it's so large, you could probably build several homes. But the greatest threat that we had was from the communications tower. Now, where we're looking at other properties along the San Diego River, doing some really good work where, for instance, there's 40 acres just a stone's throw from this property, closer to El Capitan Reservoir, where a house just had went in a few years ago. And there's three other 40-acre properties next to it. And what would happen if three more homes went in there and this area surrounded by the Cleveland National Forest? And so, again, that's what we call our River Wildlife Fund, where we go out and we look for strategic properties. We're not trying to buy the world. It's a very focused program of if we bought this, it would have a huge difference. And that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, the San Diego River was known in areas for being a great source of sand and gravel. Are there potential gravel or even mining claims in this area that's for sale that you're aware of, or is that a possibility?
Yeah, actually, that's one of the issues with this property right now. It was originally a mining area. That's some of the things we're trying to do now is clear up the title on the property. Throughout San Diego County, there's a lot of mining that goes on. And so those are some of the issues that we address when we acquire and conserve properties.
And sort of moving towards the river, you know, when those types of activities go on, the first thing that happens is all that silt goes into that path of least resistance. It goes into the river.
That's right. But you think about our beautiful beaches. Our beautiful beaches is that sand. And so what happens is when it rains, that sand eventually works its way down and gets smaller and smaller and eventually gets to our beaches. It's a part of the natural ecosystem. You know, in some of our rivers, like the San Diego River, in the upper parts, we've built dams. And so we don't see the sand coming down to replenish our beaches. It gets stuck behind the dam. But we're very fortunate in San Diego. There's a lot of great sand along the San Diego River. It's been mined. It's built most of our, you know, concrete structures in San Diego over the years has been the sand from the San Diego River. Somebody once told me it's the most valued sand in all of California, actually. But a lot of that sand has come down off the face of El Cap. When that granite kind of decomposes and breaks down, it eventually becomes sand.
You know, the Sunrise Power Link is one of the plans has it going through the El Monte Valley. Would that have any impact on what's going on with this property or just with El Cap in general?
Oh, sure. You know, if you were to build a power line in your community, wherever you live, Tommy, of course it's going to impact your community. There's no question about it. Right now in El Monte Valley, it's a fairly pristine valley with mostly still some agricultural, but wide open vistas. Incredible views, such as the one of El Cap. I mean, it's a stunning view. You imagine a power line that goes through that. Of course, it's going to impact the quality of life in that neighborhood. The question that we're all faced with is, what's the trade-off? Do you need the power line? And as a community, you have to kind of make a decision about, well, you know, there's a balancing thing here. We need more power. I'm not smart enough to know whether we need power or not. Tommy, I know that we need to protect our beautiful natural resources such as LCAP, and we will work with whomever it takes to work and partner with issues that affect the river, and we'll continue to do that.
Have you been in touch with the entity, the family that's selling the property?
Yes. In fact, we originally found out about this property by the county of San Diego, who asked us to look into it, and they were put in touch with us when they heard that the property was going to be on the market. And so our intent has always been to try to figure out a way to get people galvanized together to raise enough money to either stall any sale to somebody else so we can raise the money over time, or find grants or whatever it might take, any way it takes to purchase this property. So it'll be public trust into the future.
If you're just joining us, this is Tree Huggers International on FM 94.9. I'm Tommy Howe, and joining us today is the Executive Director of the San Diego River Park Foundation, Rob Hutzel. We're talking about the preservation of 385 acres of El Cajon Mountain, better known in these parts simply as El Capitan, which overlooks the cities of Lakeside and overlooks the El Monte Valley. For more information, go to the San Diego River Park Foundation's website at www.sandiegoriver.org. That's sandiegoriver.org. And for more information on the El Capitan campaign, go to the homepage and click on where it says Grant to Buy Wildlife Lands, just below the flash animation photo montage. You can also call 619-297-7380 for more information. That's 619-297-7380. Have you been doing a lot of outreach in the community?
Yeah, you know, we have been going out and talking with members of the community. It's a really fascinating process, you know, because we have a coalition of some 70 organizations that we interact with, and in this area in particular, you know, you have this range of opinions. You have these people that know it, love it, want to protect it, and then you have people that really never look at it, and it's just not part of their community. And for my values, when I look out and I see a natural resource like that, I just truly care about it and want to do something about it. But for some people, it's just not their priority. It's been an interesting experience when we've gone out into Blossom Valley and some of the communities around there, to see what people's interests are. You know, slowly you build momentum and slowly build interest and awareness, and then you give people an opportunity to participate. That's the way we always look at it. And if they can join in and then feel like they helped save a mountain, wow, wouldn't that be cool to look back and to tell your kids or your neighbor's kids or whoever, you know, is important to you, that you helped save that mountain. Every time you look at that, you feel good about yourself. And that's what we're trying to do. We have been slow about it so far. I think the economy has been pretty tough. It's an uphill struggle, literally. But we will do it. We'll be successful.
Yeah, you see El Capitan when you're landing, heading into Lindbergh Field. You look out your window and you can't miss it. I mean, it's just such a prominent landmark. You are a native. Mm-hmm. You grew up here in San Diego. You grew up around the beaches area. Mm-hmm. So when did you first really notice that mountain? Because there's areas, like if you go up to Torrey Pines or Cabrillo National Monument, I mean, there it is. It's part of the view.
Yeah, I was very fortunate growing up in San Diego. Our family did a lot of traveling day trips as well as going to national parks and stuff. And I've always been out in the outdoors. And, you know, our backcountry, if you want to call it that, our mountains, has always been part of my life. And I absolutely love it. And, you know, but I didn't really notice El Cap probably until maybe, 30 years ago maybe. And I just was driving by and I saw it and somebody mentioned El Cap and I got a little confused and I said, isn't that up in Yosemite? Mm-hmm. And they said, well, yeah, but this is our El Cap. And I started to see it then. And over the last 10 years of doing the River Park Foundation stuff, I've certainly grown to appreciation of it and hiked it many a time and gone up there and talked to a lot of people that have been up there. And if you ever get the chance to go up there, and I'll get you up there, Tommy, to sit up on that big rock that's a 2,000-foot drop down to the valley below and look out and just see the whole world of San Diego. You can see Point Loma. You can see the Coronado Islands downtown and everything around you. It's just spectacular. And it's not something that everybody's ever going to get to. In fact, most people in San Diego will never get up there. But for me, at least, just knowing it's there and knowing it's protected is why I'm committed to doing this. And so many other people are involved in that process.
And it's not a matter of out of sight, out of mind with that, because even if you're not getting up there every weekend, you can still see it.
That's right. That's right. When you drive on Interstate 8 and you go through El Cajon, you see it. It's towering above you. My mom still lives in Point Loma, and I think if I stand up on the roof of her house kind of thing, I can still see it. And, you know, I ask people, can you see El Cap? And everybody says, oh, yeah, I can see it. You're up by Miramar, you can see it. It's amazing how important it is to the San Diego landscape. And it's something like much of our backcountry, as we call it, that you think is going to be protected forever, but it's not. It's privately owned. And people have the right to do pretty much what they want to within the rules. And so, you know, we've lost a lot of mountains. We've lost, take your favorite one, like Coles Mountain or something, mm-hmm. that has a communications tower on it, which serves a great important purpose. But we don't want to give up on all of them. And I think of all of them in San Diego County, this is probably the one that's left that we really, really need to protect.
You certainly do get a feeling of wildness when you are in El Cajon and you look to the east. And the trail is up and down, and that is some significant elevation gain going up there. That's over 4,000 feet, correct?
3,675, I think.
But I mean, like up and down,
yeah.
You end up gaining
again
once,
yeah.
you know, then you lose some.
Yeah. It's 12 miles, definitely, and it's not an easy hike, but the great thing about it is you don't have to do the whole thing. You know, you can go to certain parts of it and stop, and there's a little dip in it, and so a lot of folks like to go to the first high point, kind of stop there and look out, and then come back. And that's a pretty manageable hike. It's not a difficult hike. You know, it's probably a moderate in terms of ranking of hikes, but it's a fairly long hike. It's not something I would want to do on a July or August Santa Ana day.
And it's accessible from Wildcat Canyon Road, just beyond Lakeside, if you're heading towards Barona.
Right.
And it's part of the El Capitan Open Space Preserve. How are you doing right now with fundraising? And also, how are you doing with volunteers?
We have a lot of great people that come in and help in a lot of different ways. We have some outstanding staff. I'm very fortunate to work with six other people for the foundation now. But then, you know, we just counted it up the other day, and we're well over 3,000 volunteers now that help us throughout the year, which is incredibly exciting. And each of them does something a little bit different. One of them might be picking up trash, and the other one might be helping us to write a grant. And we appreciate everybody and feel everybody can have a role with our organization, because that's really what it is. It's grassroots. It's trying to make a difference in the community. We put money in, or requests for money in for grants from some private foundations and corporate foundations. We're hopeful that one or two of those will come through and help us quite a bit on that.
And I'm not trying to shift gears, but how is the San Diego River Park Foundation? Because you're taking on the fundraising and the awareness about El Capitan, but how is the River Park Foundation by itself doing right now?
Things are awesome. We're incredibly excited. We just celebrated our 8th anniversary party. We are sold out, just full. We call them fundraisers. People come in, little modest donation of $10 to help cover the cost and just give out some awards and recognize some great people. This month, on October 24th, we expect to reach 1 million pounds of trash removed from the San Diego River by our volunteers, which is incredible. We're on track for over 15,000 volunteer hours this year of service to the river, people giving back. And from when we started back in 2001, you know, it was just a handful of people. And now to see so many, literally thousands of people giving back to the river in different ways, I'm just stunned. I'm so excited by it all. And to be part of that is just really cool.
How many pounds of trash was that?
Oh, I said it too fast. 1 million. October 24th is the day. We invite people to come join us. We'll be in Mission Valley, picking up hopefully probably 6,000 or 7,000 or 8,000 pounds of trash just in that one day.
Is there less trash than there used to be, notwithstanding the efforts of all the volunteers?
Yeah, there is. Actually, twice a year we do a survey now that we started a few years ago, and we're in the middle of doing our surveys right now. And we survey about 30 miles of the river out of the 52, and so the urban portion. And we have seen trends drop. Now, some of the areas we have problems still, like Mission Valley Preserve, which is a city park in Mission Valley, and an area out in Santee that's a little bit of a problem. But most areas, we're seeing drastic drops in trash. And that's just because more people are getting out there. We have regular cleanups now, and we're getting through the big piles. And sometimes we find new trash we just didn't see before, and we're uncovering it, you know, so maybe a new tire or something we found, or a refrigerator, or abandoned car, or whatever it might be. We keep picking it up and picking it up, and the volunteers are just incredible.
If you're in Mission Valley, there's a new mural, or a new mural appeared rather a couple of weeks ago. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, we're very excited. We have our community mural program, and twice a year we get out and organize volunteers with the leadership of a very skilled artist. And I've learned a lot about these artists, that they need to be community muralists. And over a four-day period, had over 200 volunteer artists, as I like to call them, out painting this beautiful community mural. And you can't miss it. And so I encourage your listeners to go out on Qualcomm Way and Camino de la Reina, which is on the south side of the San Diego River, and look out, and you'll see this beautiful 70-foot-long mural that volunteers painted. And it's so fun to watch, because you see them out, there's a whole process, you know, you grit it out and you paint it and you do all this stuff, and then it starts to come to life as each part of it comes and different people have worked on it. And somehow, through the magic of somebody, not me, these people come together and you see 200 people coming together as one to create a mural. And it's spectacular. And what you'll see is wildlife, different wildlife that you're likely to see along the San Diego River.
And this is at Qualcomm Way and Camino de la Reina. It's right by the gas station.
Yeah, exactly. There's a Chevron station on the corner. Actually, the Chevron station, encourage people to go out and visit the owner, because he supported the project. It's his wall. He owns it.
Oh, that's great.
And we approached him. He said, sure, we'd love to have a mural there. Of course we would. You know, we have problems with the graffiti and it doesn't look so great. And he helped us, you know, put all the stuff there and use his restrooms and everything that you can imagine with that many volunteers. And I got to give a little plug to the Warren Walker School in Mission Valley.
And this is one of several murals.
Yeah, that's our fifth mural that we've done. Two of them are on Friars Road down by Marina Boulevard, actually under Marina Boulevard. We have one which you may have seen, which is down on Pacific Highway, which is where the new River Trail section just opened up a few months ago. And then the last one before that is actually on Mission Center Road on the north side of the river under the Carl's Jr. there. And again, this was an example of the landowner, Mr. Gibbs, who was very involved with Montgomery Field and the Gibbs Flying Service. He owns that area, and he worked with us to allow us to come in and paint a mural on his property. And we think it just is a great way to bring the river to people. Because you're driving by, and you don't think about the river, and then you see the mural, and you go, oh, wow, wonder why that's there. Oh, yeah, I heard about that river. And you feel that connection, and you start to bring the river out to the people. And it just is another great way to get people involved. And we always talk about trash and how people get out there and pick up trash. Not everybody wants to go pick up trash. So our job is to find different ways to get people involved, and murals are another great way to get involved. Oh, an ideal day at El Cap is simply looking out at it in, when the sun hits it in the morning, a little bit of fog down in El Monte Valley, a little ground fog, and look up and you just see this pristine, beautiful monolith looking out over the entire community, and then you see the sun hitting it and it just kind of lights up. That to me is just spectacular. And then if I have the perfect day, then I'll have the opportunity to get to the top of it and see the sun set over San Diego County from it. It's just a spectacular thing, and you hear the golden eagles, you know, in the distance, and that distinctive cry that they have. You see them soaring, and you really appreciate San Diego as it was hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And hopefully it will be into the future as well.
For me, it says a lot about entering the San Diego backcountry, and you're really changing environments.
You know, for me, Tommy, I think of it as a sentry, where it overlooks the backcountry. It's kind of there to protect it. It's like, this is the entry. You're coming into the backcountry. This is where the ground rises up pretty quickly, literally 2,000 feet. And it says, okay, you're entering the backcountry. You're here now. And, you know, what better way than protect the backcountry and all those things that we love and care about than protecting the gatekeeper, the rock that is there to protect it all. And that's the way I look at it.
Rob Hutzel, the Executive Director of the San Diego River Park Foundation. Great seeing you. Again, the website is sandiegoriver.org for more information on the River Park Foundation and Saving El Capitan. Stay in touch so we know how things are going, certainly as we get towards the end of the year.
Thanks, Tom. I really appreciate the opportunity to come talk about our mountain.
That's going to wrap things up for this week's edition of Tree Huggers International on KBZT FM 94.9. I'm Tommy Howe, and many thanks again to our friend Rob Hutzel, the Executive Director of the San Diego River Park Foundation, Rob and the San Diego River Park Foundation are taking the lead on raising awareness about the 385 acres for sale between the Cleveland National Forest and the El Capitan Open Space Reserve. And that does include the vertical relief of El Capitan and a portion of the summit. If you are a bouldering fan, if you enjoy rock climbing, this would affect you. For more information, go to sandiegoriver.org. That's the website for the San Diego River Park Foundation, sandiegoriver.org, and click on where it says Grant to Buy Wildlife Lands. There's more information at 619-297-7380. 619-297-7380. And again, you can click on where it says Grant to Buy Wildlife Lands at sandiegoriver.org. It's right below the flash animation and photo montage at the homepage. The opinions and views expressed on Tree Huggers International do not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of the staff and management of FM 94.9 or Lincoln Financial Media, and as producer, I am solely responsible for this program's content. Questions, complaints, concerns, compliments, we'd love to hear from you. Go ahead and email me at tommy@fm949sd.com. For more information on Tree Huggers International and to hear previous editions of the show, you can go to the Tree Huggers International page at the FM 94.9 website. That's www.fm949sd.com. Tree Huggers International will also be resuming operation at treehuggersintl.com. That's treehuggersintl.com. This is Tommy Howe for Tree Huggers International on KBZT FM 94.9. We'll be back again next Sunday morning at 5:30 with another take on natural science and environmental affairs in our corner of Southern California. But in the meantime, get ready for another edition of Nina Blackwood's New Wave Nation next on FM 94.9. Have a great Sunday and a good week. Be well.